Let's begin.
The Rubs at home?
Yes, I'm at home. And we're preparing to light candles. You know, here it's almost Shkia.
I know, that's what I was saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see if I have to take a 2-minute break in the middle of the Shia. It depends how long you have. But what I wanted to discuss with you today, on both Ashkafic level and on a halachic level, is the tefillah of Ala Nisim. Now, if you happen to have, not now, I don't have a scanner, access to a sefer called Harei Kedem, volume 1, then you would turn to page 179. But I'm going to present the ideas the way I understand them, and they not necessarily reflect what's here in the Harei Kedem. And we're going to raise a number of questions about Ala Nisim. The first question is, why is it that the entire Ala Nisim, with one exception, it, like any other tefillah, is written in Lashon Kodesh? But there's one exception, and that's what I want to focus your attention on. Does anybody know which word, I'm testing you, in Ala Nisim is not in Lashon Kodesh? It's actually in Aramaic. Excellent, Purkan. Now the word Purkan, if you have a sitter, that for sure you have in a place as chashuv as Clanton Park Shul. If you don't have a Harei Kedem, which some people would argue is more important than a sitter, but anyway, if you have a sitter, open up to Ala Nisim and take a look at the two sections. One is for Chanukah, which starts with Bimei Matisyo, and the other for Purim, which starts with Bimei Mordechai V'Esther. There's one koteret, so to speak, one opening, which is made up of, let's say, two lines, that's common to both Purim and Chanukah. And then it divides up. So we're going to ask a number of questions. The word Purkan does not appear in the section for Purim. Again, it's in the Ala Nisim, but not in the actual text for Purim. But in contrast, when we get to the Ala Nisim of Chanukah, in addition to the word Purkan, which appears in the koteret, in the opening, we will also find the word Purkan in the text itself. So there's no question that the word Ufurkan is not coincidental here. It's an Aramaic word, the only Aramaic word, in the body of the text itself, and only for Chanukah. Why is that so? Question number 2. Isn't it so that the Ala Nisim for Chanukah is way, way longer than it is for Purim? I didn't count the letters. Maybe you could do that for me, but I think it's about twice the size. And you'll see it as soon as you open up any sitter. Now, Ala Nisim is l'chora another expression of the Kiyum of Pirsum HaNes, which is a mitzvah that applies both on Chanukah and on Purim. However, the Gemara Mesechta Shabbos is going to be the source for the mitzvah and the chova of adding Ala Nisim. This is the Gemara in Shabbos. If you happen to have a Gemara in Shabbos, you can open up to Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, which is the famous sugya called Mai Chanukah. And the Gemara says that Toner Abanan b'Chofei Kislev, Yomei d'Chanukah, Tamnia Inu, there were 8 days of Chanukah, and at the end of this Brisa, after the Brisa describes the great miracle of the Pach HaShemen, that was meant to last for 1 day, and it lasted for 8 days, Kavum v'asa'um yamim tovim behalel v'hoda'a. Now, no one has any question about the word halel, because we identify this word halel from the famous sugya in Erchin Daf Yud of halel. But what is hoda'a referring to? And some of the achronim, and we're going to try to see if we can push this into Rishonim, assume that the word Hodah is a reference to Hadlakas HaNer, which would be a little bit odd that the Brice itself should use the word Hodah instead of Hadlaka. But they explain that there are two types of Hodah. There's Hodah B'Peh, and that's fulfilled through Hallel. And then there's Hodah B'Maisa, with an action. And that's fulfilled through Hadlaka. However, Rashi claims that this word Hodah, in the Brisa of My Chanukah, is the source for Al Anisim. So again, if you happen to have a Gemara open, you'll see Rashi Dibra Maschil Asa'um Yomim Tovim Bahalel V'Hodah, and Rashi says that Likros HaHalel V'Lomar Al Anisim BeHodah. And we know that Shmon Esrei is made up of three brachos at the beginning, three brachos at the end, and the last part of Shmon Esrei begins with Avoda, goes to Hodah, and Rashi says that we should be reciting Al Anisim in Hodah, what we call Modim, and we wedge it in. It's between the opening of Modim and the end of Modim. So if I would ask you, according to Rashi, what's the source for the Chiyuv of Al Anisim, the answer would be this Brisa of Hodah. And my question to you is that if Chazal enacted and established these days of Chanukah as days of Hodah, and Hodah is fulfilled through Al Anisim according to Rashi, then how do I understand the sugya daf chav dalin omen aleph, and now you have to turn 3 pages, Iboilahu ma'ala hazkir shel Chanukah bebirkas hamazon? The Gemara vacillates back and forth as to whether or not we recite Al Anisim in benching. And before we see the various tzdanim in the Gemara, just initially and intuitively, we would say, well, if Chazal went ahead and they established these days as days of Hodah, and Rashi says that those are days of Al Anisim, we should really be maximizing and exploiting every possible opportunity to fulfill the essence of the day as it was enacted by the Chazal as days of Hodah. And that would be Al Anisim. Why is the Gemara unsure about Al Anisim in Birkas HaMazon? So let's just review some of the questions that we raised. Number one, why the word Purkan in Lashon Aramis? Number two, what's the source for the Chiyuv of Al Anisim? We saw that Rashi holds it's based on the Brisa of My Chanukah, and these are days that were established by Chazal's days of Hodah, and Hodah means Al Anisim, Rashi says. But other Rishonim seem to assume that the word Hodah here in this pasuk, in this statement in the Brisa, is not referring to Al Anisim, but rather it's referring to Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, because otherwise, how could the Brisa have omitted the most fundamental mitzvah of Chanukah, namely Ner Chanukah? It must be that Ner Chanukah is implicit or inherent in the word Hodah. And if that be the case, then we have to ask a different question. What's the source according to those Achronim? And we're going to try to see if we can pin this on Rishonim for the obligation to recite Alad Nisim. And question number three is, why does the Gemara vacillate back and forth about whether we recite Alad Nisim in Birkas HaMazon? Question number four, on the bottom of Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara has another suffix. What happens when we daven not three tefillos a day, but four tefillos a day? What is an extra tefillah? We're not on Yom Kippur, Amosai. Yeah, Musaf. So Shabbos coincides at least once with Hanukkah, sometimes twice. This year is only once. And Hanukkah always coincides with Rosh Chodesh. So these are days in which we recite Musaf. So now instead of the three tefillos for the day, we now have jacked it up to four tefillos for the day. And the Gemara wavers back and forth as to whether or not we should recite Alad Nisim in Musaf when Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh overlap with Hanukkah. And we have to understand what that's all about. What is the Gemara's suffix here about Musaf? Now, how do we paskin? This is really interesting because the Chayadam and the Shulchan Aruch, and you'll even see it in the Rambam, indicate that in Birkas HaMazon, this is Perek Beis Milchas Brachos, the Rambam says, Bechanaka Upurim, Mosif, etc., etc., Alad Nisim. The Shulchan Aruch says, Kol Shmonas Yimei Chanaka, Omer Alad Nisim, Birkas HaMazon. Which is in itself interesting, because the Gemara doesn't come to any conclusion about whether we should insert Alad Nisim into Birkas HaMazon, but La Locha, it seems that that's a requirement. The Mishnah Berurah says that even though Alad Nisim in benching is a requirement, it should not be understood on the same exact light or on the same level as Alad Nisim in Tefillah. Why? Because Tefillah, he says, is Doraisa, whereas Chanukah is only Durabonon, so if Chanukah is going to generate some sort of chiyuv of hodah, of Alad Nisim and benching, that's not on the same level as the Alad Nisim and tefillah. So we'll come back to the Mishnah Berurah, because maybe the Mishnah Berurah will touch on this whole issue of the suffolk in the Gemara Bailahu. Is there Alad Nisim in benching? And the last point I want to make before we jump into this sugya is Rashi, in the sugya on Daf Chav Dalet, and this is the top line in Rashi on the page, Rashi says, Bebirkas HaMazon, says Rashi, Betfila Pshitalon. The Gemara never had a doubt about Alad Nisim and Tefillah during Chanukah, with the exception again of Musaf, leave that out. Sharei Lahal Uhaloda Nikbu'u Kidamrin Liel. Rashi Lishitaso, who understood that in the original Brison Chav Aleph of my Chanukah, Lishana Cheres Kavum V'yasum, etc., etc., Mahal of Hodah, Hodah was a reference to Alad Nisim, but says Rashi, that's Alad Nisim and Tefillah. So Alad Nisim and Tefillah, says Rashi, is a fundamental part of the mitzvah of Chanukah and the fulfillment of the day of Chanukah, the way that Chazal establish it with Koveya this day as a yontiv, as a special day for Hodah, says Rashi, that Hodah is Alad Nisim in Tefillah. The Gemara wants to know, is there an additional Alad Nisim in Birkas HaMazon? And we're going to have to figure out why the Gemara vacillates about that point. Now let me talk to you for a moment about the word Purkan. The word Purkan, on, let's call it, an etymological level, is an Aramaic word that comes from Lashon Kodesh. And the root of the word Purkan is Porek or Parak. And you and I know that the word parak in Lashon Kodesh, like in the case of the mitzvah prika, when you help someone to lift the burden off his back, or the mitzvah of, or for example, when you talk about someone who was porek ol, that means he rejected a yoke that was placed on his shoulders. That's point number one. But point number two, which is even more fundamental, is that purkan is the Aramaic word that corresponds to the word geula. Geula meaning redemption. If Chazal, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, when they authored Al HaNisim, would have used Lashon Kodesh straight across the board without any exception, then the word would have been Geula. And it would have been Al HaNisim, V'Al HaGeula, V'Al HaGvuros, Vachuros, Mulchomis, etc., etc. It seems that Menaschei HaTfilah, those who formulated the Tfilah, had an allergic response to the word Geula, which is very strange. We'll find the word Geula with regard to Purim, the great Geula of Purim from Haman. We'll find the word Geula Mitzrayim, the great Geula from Paro. Why did Chazal feel that they had to shy away from the word Geula with regard to Chanukah? So I'm going to suggest that we go back to basics. And this is the famous Yesod of the Levush. We've said it many, many times, 5 centuries ago, Rabbi Mordechai Yaffa, that there's a fundamental difference between the miracle of Chanukah, and for that matter, the entire battle against the Yevanim on Chanukah, and that of the defeat of Paro, or the defeat of Haman. In Purim, we are celebrating the Guf, Laharog Lahashmid Eliyabet. And a lot of the celebrations, as you know, Purim have to do with the Guf. In Chanukah, we're celebrating the Nefesh, we're celebrating the spirit. And Chanukah is all about Ner Mitzvah, it's about Or, it's about the spiritual battle between the Yevanim and Klal Yisrael. It's about the religious persecution of the Yevanim and the success of the Chashmonaim to defeat the Yevanim. And that's why on Chanukah we don't find much of a physical celebration. Again, I don't know what donuts look like in Toronto. I can just tell you what they look like here in Yerushalayim. It's mind-boggling. I mean, every other day they come up with new chidushim in the donuts, what they call sufganiyot. And I was always wondering if the word sufganiyot in Chanukah comes from the word sofeg with regard to a sugya menachos, about how they cleaned out the dirt from the neros in the candelabra. But anyway, we don't have a mitzvah of Suda on Chanukah. It's very nice to invite family. The Rambam even advocates that it's a little bit of a mitzvah and you recite Shiras V'Tishbachos. But that's all Minhagim. The Ikar Adin, you could fulfill Chanukah from beginning to end, from A to Z, without any Suda. Not so in the case of Purim. So that's the Levush. The Levush says Purim is all about a physical salvation. Now, there are two things that we have to call to our attention. One is a pasuk in Tanakh, and that says, "Uvibaladecha ein lanu melech goel u'moshiach." And if you're a Lubavitcher, this is a very famous song that the Lubavitchers like to sing. And what the pasuk is telling us is that the Moshiach, with regard to Geula, is always HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's exclusively HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mibaladecha, without God, ain't one who goel. We don't have a goel. So, for example, on the night of the Seder, how many times in the Haggadah does Moshe Rabbeinu's name appear? Donald answered once. How many times? Zero. Absolute zero. And the reason for that is because Eilanu Melech Goel Moshiach La'ata. When it comes to Geula, and God intervenes to save the Jewish people, to protect them, to take them out of the persecution and the slavery of Mitzrayim, it's Eilanu Goel La'ata. There's no other Goel. The human element and the human endeavor, or let's call it the human initiative, is completely omitted. Because God is the Goel. And we're going to see this on Purim, where Mordechai and Esther are only mentioned haphazardly. It's not like the Al Anisim for Chanukah, where not only do we start with the Mei Matisyo, and we mention the Chashmonoim, but we also mention that Achakach Bo Banecha, Lidvir Beisecha, Pinu Esecha Lecha, Tiris Mikoshecha, everything is about the human effort. And the reason for that is because when it comes to spiritual battles, God asks man to take the initiative. And therefore, the word Geula is omitted here in favor of the word Purkan. Because the word Purkan means that we're being Porek Ol. We have the Ol of the Avonim as a spiritual persecution, and now we remove that Ol. And that's going to be the initiative of the Chashmonoim, who are most nefesh for this. There's another word for Geula in Lashon Kodesh, which is called Pidia. And once again, if you open up to Tehillim, there's a Medrash in Tehillim that quotes a Pasuk Yeshayo says, Uptuye Hashem Yeshuvun, that God is the one who's Poder and returns the people of Israel from the exile. And the Medrash comments, V'lo Piduye Elio, V'lo Piduye Melech HaMashiach, Ela Piduye Hashem. It's exclusively God. Lachein Nemar Giulei Hashem. The Medrash says, that's why the Navi, when it comes to the physical protection of Klal Yisrael, always mentions Geule Hashem. It's God who's the Goel. And Eilanu Melech Goel U'Moshiach La'ata. However, in Tfilas Al Anisim, in the case of Chanukah, which is a battle for the sake of Prikas Ol Hagoyim, not for the sake of terminating the exile, we're in Eretz Yisrael, but the problem is that we are subjugated, and spiritually they are robbing us of our very identity and our very spiritual essence. Here God calls upon man to take the initiative with a great deal of self-sacrifice and fight the battle to be Porek Ol Hagoyim. Had the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah utilized the word Geula, we would have mistakenly thought that, like the Geula from Mitzrayim or from Madai and Haman, all you need is to sit back basically passively and rely totally on the Geula from Hashem. No. The word Purkan has a great message to us, and it tells us that we are called upon with a great responsibility, an awesome responsibility, to take it upon ourselves to defeat the spiritual enemies, in this case the Yavanim, the enemies of Klal Yisrael. So when the fight is spiritual, God calls upon the Jew to participate. Although everything at the end of the day is Hashkacha Pratis, but nevertheless, when spiritual survival of the Jewish nation is at stake, man, and in this case the Jewish nation, must take the initiative and play a role. If it's a physical structure, then it's exclusively God. God is going to bring about the end of any threat on the physical level. The human hand is only an instrument playing a secondary role, but not in the case of a spiritual battle. Spiritual achievements are attributed to man. Now, I have here in front of me a book, which I don't know if it reached Clanton Park. I mean, if if Harry Kenem didn't reach Clanton Pot, then Kolschke, this book, didn't reach. But anyway, it's called Birkon Mesoris Harav. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Can you see it? Okay, this is not Yudi's screen, you know, this big screen, so I don't know if you can see it. In any event, the Birkon Mesoris Harav was edited by a group of people, and they tried to add different ideas that the Rav Zichron Levracha would express on different occasions during the many decades of his teaching, anything that was relevant to Birkas HaMazon. And it's a pretty impressive piece of work. I wouldn't have expected that they would find, 250 pages of the Rav's insights to Birkas HaMazon. But I turned to the Al HaNisim, and here's what he writes here. He says, when man is just a messenger of God, he is not credited with the salvation. And I think that this is the idea of the Rav about Geula, that Ein Lanu Melech Goel Elot. Again, he doesn't quote that pasuk. But spiritual achievements are attributed to man. No matter how much the human being accomplishes, as far as political and material achievements are concerned, he cannot take credit for them to himself. He must not claim credit because it would be a matter of kochi v'yotzem yadi osol yesachayel hazeh. On Purim, we celebrate a physical victory, and therefore there's no mention of Mordechai and Esther's deeds, their actions, because we have to attribute all of the victory against Haman in the physical arena to the Almighty. But on Hanukkah, we have a different story. Antiochus was interested in destroying the Jews spiritually, and when the menace is of a spiritual nature, the initiative belongs to man. And for this reason, we remember the Hashmonaim's efforts, and we commemorate their victory on Hanukkah. Again, at this point, he's not interested at all in the word Purkan, but as we saw in the Hari Kedem, he was very, very focused on the word Purkan. He has another paragraph here that I wanted to call to your attention, and that's Masarta Giborim. We thank Hashem for the military victory, for delivering the mighty, the Giborim, the wicked, mighty Greeks into the hands of a small band of righteous Hashmonaim. No mention in Al HaNisim at all of the Pach HaShemen, of the great miracle of the candelabra. So the Rav suggests the following. Why was the Pach HaShemen miracle omitted from Al HaNisim? He says because Al HaNisim is part of Hodah. As we saw in Rashi, Hodah means Al HaNisim. And that Al HaNisim as Hodah was introduced first and foremost to the Amidah, and secondly to Birkas HaMazon. It's the purpose of Hodah to thank Hashem for our physical existence, not just the spiritual success and the victory over the Yevanim. So in effect, what we have in Al HaNisim as a form of Hodah is an overlap of, again, this is my addition here, of two elements, of two variables. Number one, to recognize that man took the initiative. And number two, to thank Hashem for the resilience and the physical existence of the Jewish nation throughout history. And therefore, in the case of Al HaNisim, we were thanking Hashem for vanquishing the Greek enemy, protecting our physical existence, we're going to emphasize what we call the Ness of the Nitzachon HaMelchama. So there are two miracles on Chanukah, and they form two different elements of the thanksgiving that we express and reflect upon on Chanukah. One is what we call a Ness al pi derech hateva, within the natural law, and secondly, a miracle that goes beyond teva. And when it comes to the Al HaNisim, what we want to do is elevate that miracle, which is hidden, to the level of a Yad Hashem, to the level of a Nes. It's hidden, it's not obvious. You know, here's a guerrilla warfare, and this band of righteous people somehow defeated the great armies of the Greeks. And in the case of Mordechai and Esther, they were able to defeat Haman, as powerful as he was. And for that, we have to thank Hashem. We have to elevate a miracle that's built into nature, because if you look at the Megillah, or if you look at the victory of the Chashmonaim, you fail to see anything miraculous. It's not like the case of Kriyas Yamsuf and the Eser Makos, which is a Nes Shalal Piderech HaTeva. But that's as far as Al HaNisim is concerned. But once we get to Hadlokas Ner Chanukah and Haneros Halolu Kodesh Heim, then we're dealing with a totally different type of miracle. The bracha that we recite, not the Al HaNisim, which is added to the fabric of Tefillah or Birkas HaMazon, but the bracha that we recite on a Maisa Mitzvah is going to immortalize that miracle, which is clearly a supernatural miracle that completely undermines the laws of nature. And that's why in Haneros Halalu Anu Madlikim, we are reciting a paragraph of Hodah that attaches to the bracha. And if you ask me which bracha, I would say it's the second bracha. The first bracha is a birchas mitzvah like any other mitzvah. But the second bracha, sha'asol anisim bayamim ha'im bazman hazeh, that is our obligation to recite a bracha over a nes. What kind of a nes? A nes that's clearly outside of the natural order of the universe. The achakach bo banechel dvir beisecha. And if you compare the Al HaNisim again of Purim to that of Chanukah, in the Al HaNisim of Purim, there's no emphasis on the role of Mordechai and Esther. But here, in Chanukah, we're going to emphasize the human action. As we said before, we come into the Beis HaMikdash, and we clean it up, and we light the candles, and we establish the day of Chanukah. Now, if you have the Hare Kedem on page 179, and I know you don't have it in front of you now, but in case you ever get access to it, if Clanton Park will allow you to do so, again, I'm willing to write the check. I'm also willing to sponsor donuts for this year, but, you know, to do it from Har Nof is a little bit of a challenge. Anyway, V'yala Milchamos, and it's very interesting that some girsa, I don't know exactly what your text says, V'yala Milchamos. Our text, I think, says Ala Milchamos. Am I right? Let's just double check. I'm just curious. What do we have? We have V'yala Milchamos, with a Vav HaMechaber. In other words, the V'yala Milchamos goes back to the Chuos, and now we're describing what those Chuos are. They're the Chuos of the Milchamos that were the battles, that military campaign that was successful, victorious, when the Chashmonaim defeated the Yevonim. However, there is a possibility of cutting off Ala Milchamos from the previous phrase Ala Chuos as a separate paragraph, so to speak. Meaning it's not the Al HaMilchamos as a Vav HaMechaber that connects us to the Chuos, but as a separate entity. And what we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that Hashem Ish Milchama Hashem Shmo, that as much as we try to win the battles. No, Hashem, those battles are won only because of you. And this reminds us very much of the bracha that we recite after the Megillah. Haraves Rivenu, etc., etc. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's fighting the Riv. Hashem Ish Melchama, as the Pasuk says, Hashem Yilachem Lachem in Mitzrayim Vatem Tachrishun. So the ultimate Ish Melchama, whenever the Jewish people win a battle against their enemies, is the Almighty God. And that's a separate Hodah that almost implies the Yesodei Emunah that we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there fighting our battles. And here we want to add a chiddush from the Beis HaLevi. You know that the Beis HaLevi wrote extensively on Chanukah and also on Pesach. And in his commentary on Parshas B'Shalach, with regard to Shira, he writes that the Chiyuv Shira is only on the Tshua. Is not only on the Tshua, but it's also on the Tzara itself. In other words, the great Gilui, the revelation at Yam Suf, is not just that God reveals Himself to defeat the Mitzrim, but that we begin to understand and appreciate the entire history of Shibud, of the suffering of the Jew. The suffering of the Jew is a stage in a development that ultimately, in its pinnacle, expressed itself in the Geula. So that the Hechshar HaGeula is the Shibud. And the Beis HaLevi quotes the Pasuk, Odcha Hashem ki ani sani vatihi Yeshua. This is a very unique kind of thanksgiving to Hashem, in which we thank Hashem not only for the Geula, but also for the Inui. And that's ki ani sani. And at the time of the ultimate Geula, at the time of the Achris HaYomim, God will reveal Himself in such a way that we'll be able to appreciate and understand all the tzaras and all the inui, l'mafreya. So it means that the tzara itself becomes part of the mechayev, so to speak, of Shira. Because included in the Shira is not just Geula and Yeshua, but it's also the tzara and the golos. And therefore, we're going to recite Shira not only on the redemption and the miracles, but also on the difficulties, the challenges, the suffering, the affliction that we experience. And therefore, when we emphasize in Al Anisim, Al HaMilchamos, what we're emphasizing are the difficult moments in which we had to face that battle and all those battles against our enemy. Let's go back now to answer some of the other questions that we asked. Why is it that when it comes to tefillah, the Gemara has no question, no doubt about it, that we should recite Al HaNisim in Hodah in tefillah? The Gemara has a suffolk vacillating back and forth with regard to Birkas HaMazon. First of all, what we have to know is that the laws of Al HaNisim are codified by the Rambam in Hilchos. What? Where would you open up the Rambam to find the laws of Al HaNisim? No one?
Brisset Tefillah.
Okay, you're right. You're right. But I would have said, intuitively that it should appear in Hilchos Chanukah. But the Rambam deliberately left out Al HaNisim in the laws of Chanukah, and instead he codifies them in the laws of Tefillah and in the laws of Brachos. Tefillah and Hilchos Tefillah, Brachos in the case of Birkas HaMazon. Now, yesh lachkar. Here's the chakira of today. What is the machayev? Where should I classify and categorize Alan Nisim? Is it part of Hanukkah? Or is it part of Tefillah? What generates the chiyuv? Now you might ask me, what sense does it make to assume that Tefillah generates the chiyuv Alan Nisim? The answer is, we have a principle in Hilchos Tefillah, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, and it's called Me'ein Hayom, meaning we talk about what happened on that day, Me'ein Ama'ora, and the Mechayev of Me'ein Ama'ora is Tefillah itself. If we compare that to Rashi, we said, has Alan Nisim as part of the Kvius of the Chachamim of these days of Chanukah. Clearly, according to Rashi, the Mechayev of Alan Nisim is Chanukah itself. If Rashi would have written the Rambam, he would no doubt have classified and codified the laws of Alan Nisim and Hilchos Chanukah. But the Rambam codifies the laws of Alan Nisim and Hilchos Tefillah and Hilchos Birkas HaMazon. And the impression you get from the Rambam is that Alan Nisim is generated by the law and the principle of Me'ein HaMa'ora. And perhaps Tosfos would also accept Rashi. I'm sorry. Tosfos would likewise accept the Rambam. That we're talking about Me'ein HaMa'ora. And the reason for that is that Tosfos might be influenced, as the Rashba was, in the Sugya on Daf Chav Dalid, by the Tosefta. And the Tosefta says that Kol Yom She'ein Bo Musaf Kigon Chanukah Upurim, Arvis Shachris Umincha, Mispalel Shmona Esrei V'Omer Me'ein HaMa'ora Be'oda. The Tosefta in the third parak of Brachas is outspoken about the fact that Alan Nisim in Tefillah is generated by the halacha of Me'ein HaMa'ora. That's clearly a Tefillah halacha. And if that be the case, you can begin to understand why the Gemara vacillated about Alan Nisim and Birkas HaMazon, because Birkas HaMazon does not have Halacha Me'ein HaMa'ora. Or if it does, it's a little bit different than the classic Me'ein HaMa'ora of Tefillah. Rashi, on the other hand, is going to go back to the Takon of Chanukah, and he's going to wonder whether the Takon of Chanukah, as a Yom of Hodah, in its very essence, would penetrate not only into Tefillah, but even into Birkas HaMazon. And we'll try to understand in a minute what the Gemara was vacillating about. But first, I want to suggest two nafkaminas. One nafkamina is the Radbaz. The Radbaz who lived, as you know, 5 centuries ago in Egypt. He says that if you forgot Alan Nisim and you completed the bracha, you can still recite Alan Nisim. And everybody jumps on this Radbaz and objects, because if you finish the bracha already, then it, you know, mashallah, also it's farfal and it's too late. But perhaps, according to the Radbaz, like the Rambam and Tosfos, the Mechayev of Alan Nisim is Me'ein HaMa'ora. And it never becomes a hefsek. It never becomes something that's foreign to the tefillah itself, or to the Birkas HaMazon in this case. Why? Because the chiyuv of tefillah and Birkas HaMazon is to add a mention of the day Me'ein HaMa'ora. So if we add Alan Nisim, that's a fulfillment of Me'ein HaMa'ora. Masha'enkin, if we go with Rashi, that the requirement of Alan Nisim is generated by the day itself, it means that when we get to Hodah in Tefillah, we fulfill our Chiyuv Hodah that is generated by Chanukah, because Chanukah was established by the Chacham as a day of Hodah. There's no room to add Alan Nisim and recite it somewhere in the middle between two brachos, and hence the objection against the Radbaz. And secondly, perhaps another nafkamina would be the case of Noshim. The Gemara says that in Birkas HaMazon there's a tzad that there's no requirement of Alan Nisim. Why? So the Gemara Chav Dalet, I'll read it to you, says, Iboilu mal lehaskir shalchanik Birkas HaMazon kevan dimir rabbanan hu lo mad karinan. Because Chanukah is the Rabbanon, we're not going to mention it in Birkas HaMazon. What does that mean? So it could be, I don't know for sure, but maybe what Rashi would say is that Al Anisim as a Takana was established reflecting the nature of the day as a day of Hodah, and that has to be fulfilled in Tefillah. And that was Pshita, that was simple to the Gemara. The Gemara never questioned that. Would the Kiyum of Hodah through Al Anisim in Tefillah be sufficient? Maybe it is enough. And since Chanukah is the Rabbanon and Birkas HaMazon is Doraisa, the Rabbanon didn't establish that we have to interfere, so to speak, and inject a Hodah of Chanukah into the very fabric of Birkas HaMazon. But let's get back to Noshim. Is there any difference between a woman and a man as far as the Chiyuv of Chanukah is concerned? The Gemara says that women are obligated in Chanukah Sha'af hein hoyu bosa nes, that the essence of this day as a day of Hal and Odah is a day of thanking Hashem for the miracle. Women, no less than men, and maybe even more than men because of Yehudis, they have to recite a thanksgiving to Hashem and establish this day of Chanukah as a day of Odah. Masha Enkein, if you go with the Rambam and Tosfos, that Al Nisim is not generated by Chanukah, but rather by Tefillah, and the famous Magen Avraham, that women are not obligated in Tefillah, all they have to have is one Bakosha in any form per day, but they're not obligated in the formal Tefillah of three times a day. So it could be that if within the framework of the formal Tefillah, Chazal established Al Nisim on Chanukah, and this is a reflection of the law, the regulation of Tefillah of Me'ena Ma'ora, so therefore the Noshim, since they don't have a Chiyuv Tefillah, the Me'ela, they don't have a Chiyuv of Tefillah Me'ena Ma'ora, they don't have the obligation of Al Anisim. Now I'm not saying that the women can't recite Al Anisim according to that Shita, but it would certainly clearly be optional, because Tefillah itself is optional for a woman. Mashenkin, according to Rashi, that the Mechayev of Al Anisim is Chanukah itself as a day of Hodah, then I would say that women, no less than men, are obligated in Hodah. I just want to end the Shia because I have to go light Chanukah candles. I'm a little bit past my time here. Right here in our country, it's already Tzeis HaKochavim. So I just want to end with Rav Soloveitchik's insight into the Suffolk of... So what is the Suffolk with regard to Birkas HaMazon, whether we should recite Al Anisim in Birkas HaMazon? So Rav Soloveitchik says, first of all, why didn't the Gemara have a suffix about Purim? That we don't find. And secondly, we have Yalav Yov on Rosh Chodesh. We have Yalav Yov on Shabbos. We have Meina Ma'ora on Yontif and on Chol HaMoed. What makes Chanukah different? So he suggests the following, that the Gemara is vacillating about Seuda on Chanukah. Is there any difference between a Seuda of Chanukah and a Seuda during the week? and he assumes, at first glance, that herein lies the difference between Purim and Chanukah. We hinted at this before when we spoke about the Levush, that Purim is a festival of Mishte v'Simcha, and we have to be Koveya Suda as a Suda's Purim. And therefore the benching, which is attached to the Suda's Purim, has to reflect the fact that this Suda is the Suda's Purim. And therefore there was never a question in Gemara's mind that Birkas HaMazon on Purim requires an Alei Nisim. Again, the Rav goes off on a whole tangent here about Laila. In Leil Purim, there's halacha that Achal Suda's Purim, but Laila lo yatsa yedei chovaso. But nevertheless, he claims that based on a Ramah, that there is a status of a Suda's Purim to some extent, even Balaila. But in the case of Chanukah, is there a mechanism by which we can convert and transform the Suda into a Suda's Chanukah? So as we said before, the Ramah advocates, in the case of a Suda's Chanukah, that we add Shiros v'Tishbachos. And apparently, what the Ramah is indicating here, and there's a long arichus in Harei Kedem, which we don't have time for, is that you can actually upgrade and add a whole new dimension to a Suda on Chanukah. Just like on Shabbos, we have a Chiyuv of a Suda to be Koveya al Pas, so to on Yontif. On Chanukah also, although it's not obligatory, we do have the ability of transforming the Suda into a Suda's Chanukah. And there are many different ways we can do this. We can have Amir Shiras v'Tishbachos, or we can recite Al Anisim in benching. And the final maskana of the Gemara is that Al Anisim in benching on Chanukah is optional. And the Rav says that it's optional to decide, and it's everyone's individual decision, whether or not to upgrade that Seuda and transform it to a Seudas Chanukah. If we add that Kiyum, then it has to express itself through Birkas HaMazon.